Ready?
Sure.
Good morning. I call the State and Local Government Finance and Policy Committee meeting to order on February 29th, 2024. There is a quorum present. Our first item is approval of the minutes for February 20th. Representative Hewitt, may I have a motion?
Madam Chair, so moved.
Thank you. Is there any discussion to the minutes of February 20th? Seeing none, all those in favor of approval say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the minutes for February 20, 2024 are approved. We would like to move on then to House File 3646, Representative Pinto. I will move that House File 3646 be re-referred to the General Register. Representative Pinto, we have the bill before us. I understand you have an author's amendment. Would you like to get the bill in the order that you would like first?
That'd be fine, Madam Chair. Perhaps I'll just briefly describe the bill, and that'll make the amendment make a little more sense as well.
Perfect.
If that makes sense. Okay. Thank you, Chair, and thanks, members. Members, the bill before you is a recodification of statutes relating to the Department of Children, Youth, and Families. We passed the enabling legislation for that agency last spring, and when we did, we directed the revisor's office to create, to draft a recodification of statutes. That's what's before you today. The bill is entirely technical, and the amendment then that is being brought up now continues that as the bill moves along, and I'm sure as the law moves along, the revisor's office, nonpartisan staff, will continue to identify points because it's complicated moving statutes around, and so this is coming from the revisor's office, and I would ask members to adopt it to get the bill in the shape that the nonpartisan staff and revisor's office wish. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Members, is there any discussion? Well, I'll move the A24 be before us. Is there any discussion to the A24? Seeing none, all those in favor of the adoption of the A24, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion prevails and the A24 is adopted. Now with the bill before us in the form that you would like, please proceed.
Thank you, Chair. So, Madam Chair and members, again, the bill is simply moving sections around and is technical in nature. I'm hoping that there is revisor staff or someone who's able to describe the bill, and I believe that was going to be happening, but I'm not sure if there isn't. Okay, if you're able to. Yeah, if, Madam Chair, if we could have advisor staff come up to just briefly describe some background further on the bill just to make sure members, in case there's any questions.
Thank you.
Hi.
Welcome, and if you'll state your name for the record and begin your summary, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Yes, Dean Treffs, Assistant Advisor. Our office, along with nonpartisan staff, worked together closely with the agencies to effectuate the law that was passed last year and move statutes. A lot of the bill is just moving things from 245s and 256s over to 142A through G or several 142 letters. There are some places where there is both what looks like new underlined text, but that is merely because we've had to copy out some functions. So there shouldn't be any policy changes in here, but it is simply either moving things wholesale, amending things and then moving them, or what is effectively copying them, but there isn't really a function for copying in a revisor instruction. So those are new, that is new language that may be adapted for the new department, but is actually just mostly copied or language, so in some cases language adapted to do the same function as was instructed in last year's laws.
Thank you very much. Chair Pinto, is there anything you want to say about that?
No, Madam Chair, and members, no thanks.
Well, I would just like to extend a large thank you.
Yes.
I know that we ask a lot of the revisor's office in putting this bill together last year, so I would like to say thank you for your hard work in that. Members, are there any questions? Okay. I understand that there are two amendments. Who is offering the A1?
Madam Chair, I'll take that.
Thank you, Lead Nash. Would you like to explain the A1?
Yeah, I would offer the A1. And the goal here, and I've spoken with Representative Pinto about my concerns, and I don't know if we have a kumbaya moment, but you know, my goal is to not allow for duplicative efforts and budgets to exist, and for it not to be in the budget of one part of the state government and be accessible by another. So that's the intent of the A1, is to put up some guardrails to prevent that. And I think Representative Pinto and I spoke about this on the floor yesterday. It all seemed, many days seem to run together already.
Any questions regarding the amendment? Chair Pinto?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks, Representative Nash. Representative Nash did mention this concern on the floor. I think I maybe thought it was going to be more brought up rhetorically as opposed to an amendment. That may be a misunderstanding on my part. So
I am known for rhetoric.
Yeah, and you're good at it. I guess the concern I have is the bill is intended – so there will be additional legislation, I'm sure, this session relating to certainly the programs within the ambit of the agency, and I would think the agency itself. On March 1st, there will be a report – that's tomorrow, isn't it? So tomorrow there'll be a report regarding the implementation of the agency. This bill is intended to be simply moving statutes around, simply technical. And so I guess what I'd and I'll admit my brain is catching up a little bit on the two amendments, but I would respectfully request, I think, that we address substantive issues like this at a different point and with a different bill, because this is simply implementing the just statutory. It's literally nonpartisan staff is saying, please pass this as fast as possible, so that as we're drafting legislation that actually relates to the substance of the agency, we've got a foundation to build upon. So I don't necessarily oppose the substance, but I guess I would respectfully ask that we would hold that for a substantive bill as opposed to this bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. And with that, members, I'm going to urge a no vote and just let this bill be the technical bill that it is. And any further discussion to the A2 by the members? All those in favor?
Madam Chair,
Lead Nash.
Do we still subscribe to the tradition of letting the author of the amendment
close
up?
Please go right ahead.
Thank you. I would argue rhetorically that precluding one agency from having access to the till of another is a technical fix. So with that, apparently Madam Chair is in a hurry, so we can go to a vote.
Thank you. All those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no.
No.
No. The motion does not prevail, and the A2 or the A1 is not adopted. Oh. Next, we have the A2 amendment. Who's presenting the A2?
That would be me.
Thank you, Lead Nash. Please proceed.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're going to love this one since you loved the last one so much. But, you know, it is not uncommon to request the OLA to do a review of this. And given that it is something that I believe periodically should be done, I would hope that we could have a review from a largely technical group put into the, as it's been deemed, technical bill. So with that, I would request a roll call on this.
A roll call has been requested. Chair Pinto, would you like to speak to the A2?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Nash. So the same thought regarding this amendment to this bill, but I will note that I spoke quite a bit with the Legislative Auditor's Office last spring, and I do know that they've said that when there's a new agency being set up, there's great intent by the OLA to give it great scrutiny, which they should. Again, respectfully, I would ask that this not be added onto this bill, but let's continue to have the conversation, and as we have substantive bills, we can address that at that point.
Okay. Thank you. Lead Nash, anything further?
I'll just let you keep going.
Thank you. A roll call having been requested, please take a roll.
Chair Cleavorn?
No.
Chair Cleavorn, no. Vice Chair Hewitt?
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt, no. Lead Nash?
Aye.
Lead Nash, aye. Representative Bonner?
No.
Representative Bonner, no. Representative Freiberg?
No.
Representative Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Hansen, no. Representative Harder? Representative Harder, aye. Representative Joy?
Aye.
Representative Joy, aye. Representative Nadeau?
Aye.
Representative Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton?
No.
Representative Newton, no. The ayes are 4 and the nays are 6.
With a 4-6 vote, the motion does not prevail and the A2 is not adopted. With that, Chair Pinto, is there anyone that you wish to call for testimony on this bill?
No one further, Madam Chair. Thank you.
And is there anyone in the public who wishes to testify on this bill? Seeing none, we'll go to member discussion on the bill. Is there any further discussion? Representative Harder.
Thank you, Chair Claiborne and Representative Pinto. This is a pretty big lift of moving just a number of departments within the agency to, you know, a new agency. And my only comment is that I hope when all this transition, that with all the changes, that it will not affect counties who actually do the work and delay in payment and everything like that. And I hope this new agency will keep that under consideration, because a delay of payment to counties delays, you know, the needs of the people of the county that need the services. That's my comment. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Harder. Is there any further discussion to the bill? Okay. Seeing none, we will move on. I will renew my motion that House File 3646 as amended be re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed?
No.
The motion prevails and House File 3646 as amended is recommended to be re-referred to the General Register. Thank you, Chair Pinto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members.
Okay. Next, we will move on to House File 3679. Representative Kraft, if you'll come forward. I will move that House File 3679 be re-referred back to Commerce. We have the bill before us. If you'd like to, welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
If you'd like to state your name for the record and tell us about your bill, please.
Yes, my name is Larry Kraft. Thank you so much, Madam Chair and committee members. So this bill is really about consumer protections and consumer choice around telecommunications, and is probably even more impactful in greater Minnesota. It addresses some specific consumer protection situations that the agency will describe, so I've asked them to come up here with me, and also removes some old language preventing municipalities from developing communication services in certain limited situations.
If you'd please state your name for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Thank you, Chair. For the record, my name is John Kelly. I'm the Director of Government Affairs for the Minnesota Department of Commerce. Good afternoon, members, or morning, members, goodness. thank you to Representative Kraft for carrying this bill, which is the department's telecom policy bill. This bill was heard previously in Commerce. We took an amendment from that, you know, reflected to try to address some of the agency or the industry's concerns. We are still continuing to talk with industry around this language. This bill is going back to Commerce. We are working on language around the issue of condemnation that's in the bill, that's in the bill that pertains to this committee, the Muni section. And so we are hopeful that we'll get this ironed out. This is an important bill. It amends in the first part of the bill, it amends section 237.121 to require voice service providers to provide a prorated refund to customers who pay in advance but cancel their service before the end of their prepaid term. It creates a new provision in Minnesota Statutes 237 to include an automatic account credit to customers who inform their provider that they have a known health care issue and require consistent access to 911 emergency services. If their provider fails to appear at a repair appointment as scheduled without 24 hours notice. And finally, as Representative Kraft mentioned, it removes outdated language that limits local communities from developing infrastructure for broadband connectivity. This would allow municipalities to develop infrastructure for connectivity, either for partnering with private internet service providers or developing municipal broadband utilities. It would also allow local governments to invest in any type of voice service. I think it's a good bill. We're still working it out with the industry, but we think we will. And we'll stop there and if there's any questions from the committee.
Thank you so much, Mr. Kelly. We do have two amendments to discuss. The A2, who's bringing the A2 forward? Okay, we'll move on to the A3. Anyone interested in the A3? Seeing no takers. Okay. we have members. Is there any discussion? We did have a testifier for the bill. Mr. Lightfoot, if you please come forward.
No, no.
Thank you, Mr. Lightfoot. If you'd state your name for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members. My name is Daniel Lightfoot, and I serve as a intergovernmental relations representative with the League of Minnesota Cities. The League represents the collective interests of 838 member cities across the state of Minnesota. I want to appreciate Representative Kraft bringing this bill forward. The League has had longstanding policies that support the removal of barriers in existing statute that hinder the ability of Minnesota cities to own and operate broadband systems, including the elimination of Minnesota statutes 237.19, which requires a supermajority voter approval for the provision of municipal broadband. For years, this provision, in addition to the provision in Chapter 429, also addressed in the bill, have created an unnecessarily high bar in favor of telecom incumbents from public competition. And without this change, Minnesota remains just one of 16 states that have laws aimed at limiting competition in favor of private providers. You may hear and have heard from the private provider community that municipal broadband doesn't work, but what we have seen in cities that have deployed municipal broadband is the increase in competition with private providers, which has over time resulted in lowering of consumer prices and improving of service, which benefits our residents. While not all cities may be interested in establishing their own broadband service, the removal of these anti-competitive barriers will set the stage for consumers to benefit from market competition as local communities seek to attract broadband deployment or establish their own network to deliver affordable, high-quality internet that is ubiquitous across the entire community. Thank you, Madam Chair and members, and happy to stand for questions as well.
Thank you. And I see that we have another member of the public that would like to testify. If you'd please come forward. Thank you. I apologize. I didn't have your name on the list to testify. If you'd state your name for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, members. For the record, my name is Brent Christensen, and I'm the president and CEO of the Minnesota Telecom Alliance, or MTA. The MTA membership is a mix of cooperatives, family-owned, privately held, and publicly traded broadband providers throughout Minnesota. In 2023 alone, MTA members invested close to $360 million in broadband throughout the state. While MTA members have many different corporate structures, one thing we have in common is our commitment to serving Minnesota. Today, I'm joined at the Capitol by more than 50 MTA members from around the state to discuss common sense telecommunications policies with you and your colleagues. I'm here today to testify against House File 3679 in its current form. The Department of Commerce bill. While this bill has many problems, I'm here to testify on only the parts that are within the jurisdiction of this committee, specifically those provisions of the bill that would permit a municipality to condemn or take private property of a telephone company and cross-subsidization of a competitive utility. I'll use it as an example, my family's 121-year-old business in southern Minnesota. Under the language currently before you, Christensen Communications could be condemned by a simple 3-2 vote of the Medillia City Council, and that is not right. We do appreciate the department's recognition of this as an issue and are continuing to work with them on more appropriate language. In addition, this bill applies to one segment of the telecommunications industry, wireline telephone companies. The Department of Commerce does not regulate cable companies, cellular telephone companies, or any other providers of telecommunications service, just my members. And that explains why I'm the only one from the industry up here testifying. For that reason alone, this bill is unfair and discriminates against my members because it cannot be applied equally to all forms of the service. I've been told by the Department of Commerce that landline telephone companies are infrastructure subject to the same condemnation statutes as roads, new sewers, and bridges. MTA members should not be compared to inanimate objects. Our members employ people. We invest hundreds of millions of dollars in Minnesota annually. We pay taxes, and by definition in statute, we are a utility. The other issue with this bill is a lack of protection from cross-subsidization. Madam Chair, members, telecommunications is the only competitive utility. There's no competition in electric, gas, or water. We are it. Competition is a way of life for us, and we accept that. That said, we need to be able to compete in a competitively neutral environment. And this bill, as written, will allow cities to have an unfair advantage when competing against the private sector. The Minnesota Department of Commerce says their mission is to protect all Minnesotans in their everyday financial transactions by investigating, evaluating services, and advocating that they be fair, accessible, and affordable. This bill in its current form goes against the department's own mission statement. Members, we're asking to be treated fairly and equally, the same as other industry segments and potential competitors. We would support any of the amendments that didn't get offered here today as a way to fix that problem. And we continue to work with the author and the department on language that complies with the department's own mission statement. Thank you, Madam Chair. And with that, I'm happy to stand for questions.
Thank you, and I really appreciate your testimony, and thank you for being here today. Representative Kraft, mm-hmm. Do you have any comments?
What I would say is I also appreciate the comments that were made. These are issues that are being worked. I think some of the cross-subsidization stuff has been addressed. We can continue to talk. I do the condemnation issues are something that are being worked, and I think we'll come to a agreeable point.
And this bill is being referred to
Commerce. Yeah.
Okay, so there's still time for you to work with.
Yep.
Okay. I forgot to ask if there was anyone else from the public who wanted to testify. Okay, seeing none, we'll move to member discussion. Representative Joy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One question I have is, being from greater Minnesota or rural Minnesota and a mayor, when Arvig or whoever came through our town, we had a franchise fee we just charged and let the professionals do the wiring and everything like that and handle that because us as city people aren't the best at that construction. How many cities actually get into this? In Minnesota, how many cities do we see getting into this municipal held and competing, and how many just do what we did as a franchise fee? It's kind of surprising because I haven't heard of this in the 6 years as being a mayor, and I'm just kind of surprised this is coming forward.
Madam Chair, Representative Joy, thank you for the question. Currently, by my last count, I believe we have 18 active and successful municipal broadband networks. There are a few different models. There's more of a cooperative model where a city and surrounding cities or a county may enter into a joint powers agreement to run the network or provide a dark fiber network. There are also models where a city will engage in a public-private partnership with a provider like an Arvig where the city will own the infrastructure for the provision of broadband, but will contract with a provider for the provision of the service. I think what's important here is that, part of the reason that there are so few is that the barriers continue to exist. The supermajority vote is a very high barrier and is a remnant of legislation that's been on the books that, in our opinion, is an overly high barrier to overcome for a local unit of government who, in many cases, doesn't necessarily care who provides the service, they just need it. And in a lot of areas in greater Minnesota, we've seen this model work well where providers may not be able to make the business case to serve an area that may be sparsely populated. And so the community figures out how to provide it on its own.
Thank you, Mr. Lightfoot. Representative Joy? Okay. We'll move to Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, and Mr. Lightfoot, you might be the person to ask this, or maybe Mr. Christensen. You'd referenced those 18 cities that have successfully done this. Are there any cities that have had problems, financial problems with this? Their taxpayers are having to subsidize this enterprise, and maybe to the author, as cities venture into maybe more of the public sector free market, are there other services outside of telecom that the author thinks cities might want to get into? Grocery stores, providing food at a lower cost to other people. I'm not sure why this is a venture that we want our governments continuing to expand into other than regular established government services. So are there any cities that have failed and taxpayers had to subsidize these programs? And are there other industries that maybe cities could help their constituents get into?
Let's take these one at a time. Mr. Lightfoot, would you like to answer the first question about cities that have been successful or less successful?
Yes, Madam Chair, Representative Kozik, thank you for the question. You know, as I think any of the providers in this room would tell you, you know, installing a brand new, you know, fiber network does carry with it some significant costs, certainly. And there have been, I think, the cases that are often discussed is the city of Monticello, for example, with their FiberNet product. And I think while you know, the city ran into challenges from the get-go. Part of the reason was they were being consistently sued by the provider community. And I think now, based on my conversations with the city, the FiberNet network is profitable for the city and has successfully lowered prices for consumers from a $150 watermark now to the city being able to provide $30 a month for 100 megabit symmetrical service and $75 a month for gig symmetrical service.
Thank you. And then Representative Kraft, other services, are you planning on adding those to this bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to add one other comment to that. Cities don't have to do this, right? And the reason why I frame this as even more applicable in greater Minnesota is that you hear of places where the connectivity isn't sufficient there. And so allowing cities the control to be able to say, hey, this is really important to our constituents and having another tool in their toolbox, I think is one of the reasons I was attracted to this bill. In terms of other services, I will tell you, as an ice cream aficionado, I would love my city to get involved and serve an ice cream. But no, in all seriousness, this is a targeted bill, and I don't envision other things. And I would, you know, I don't have any intentions to open up to other kinds of services.
Right. Representative Kuznick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I appreciate the answers and the discussion. I'd be curious. I don't believe that there's any reporting requirements back to the legislature that might be helpful to see if this is actually successful or if it endangers the taxpayers in these local municipalities that actually, when these big capital investments raises the taxes on the taxpayers or in fact fail and it is not profitable. Maybe that's something that we should include into the bill, some reporting back to the legislature on the actual economics of this and competing in the free market. I'm curious if there was there's probably a tax levy in the city of Monticello to actually pay for this, that increased taxes on the front, and if that's included in your analysis. But overall, I'm not really joking around with the expansion of government in more areas of people's lives. Last session, we had, you know, a huge budget increase in the state government of 40%, and now we're going to the local levels of government and asking them to do more and more. That's not necessarily prescripted, in my opinion, the proper role of local governments to get into the free markets. And so I just see this as another big government growing and growing, and the mandates that are come to it and how the cities regulate it and push different requirements on their taxpayers and users of this is concerning to me.
I hear your opposition. Representative Nash, we also have Representative Nadeau. Would you prefer to go, Representative Nadeau?
Thank you, Representative Nash and Madam Chair. Good morning, Representative Kraft. Thank you for bringing this. I have a couple of questions, and I'm going to keep it within, I think, the purview of this committee. Can you tell me where this bill came from? Who is trying to do this and can't currently?
Representative Kraft.
Madam Chair, Representative Nadeau, this is an agency bill. It came from the Department of Commerce.
Representative Nadeau.
Thank you. I know that the League of Minnesota Cities representative, he testified that, you know, the cost has been driven down in some of these cases, and I would submit that access and advances in technology are driving down the cost of access. I'm not opposed to municipalities, doing this, but I think the statute was pretty clear when it was drafted 100 years ago or whatever. You know, the high acceptance rate by the citizens of a community who are responsible to build the plant, to build the infrastructure, to implement something like this is risky. And so I think it was put in there so that there would have to be a high preponderance of people who need this service to be put in place. And I don't think the Department of Commerce has made a reasonable defense against that. I live in Northwest Hennepin County. I have a DSL line to my house. I just got cable. I have both right now because I'm not quite sure which, you know, which one is going to work. This isn't just a Greater Minnesota thing. CenturyLink has invested hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars into building a system in my community. And if all of a sudden three members of my city literally want to use their power of eminent domain, and condemnation is the exercise of that, and I know that you're going to work on that in commerce, but if three members of my city decide, geez, we're going to condemn this, I have to submit that you would think that that is a bit concerning, that the citizens wouldn't have a high standard of wanting to be engaged in that. So I guess I'm going to, my question is, why do we want to remove citizen engagement on something that's this big and this important to people working from home, students learning? Why would we want to remove that?
Representative Kraft.
Madam Chair, Representative Nadeau, as the, you know, I believe as the representatives of the, first let me just say, there was a lot in there. On the condemnation bit, I've already indicated that I think there's some merit to the points. So I think we're going to address that. And then beyond that, the city council is the representative of the people. So I think it makes sense that they should be able to vote on this and make a decision. If it's not liked, then they can be voted out.
Thank you. And is there a follow-up?
Yes. I mean, would you submit then that local units of government should be able to implement a sales tax without referendum?
Representative Kraft.
Madam Chair, Representative Nadeau, this is not a sales tax bill. Thank you.
Lead Nash.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And there was a little bit of confusion as to who was offering what amendment. I still would actually think I'd like to offer the A3 unless you're going to pop the clutch and just move on through that.
We have already had that opportunity, and let's just continue on.
So here's the deal.
The bill's being re-referred to Commerce where that amendment could be offered.
Great.
Thank you.
So here's my opposition to this, and I'll hearken back to a conversation. I think it was when I was a city council member. There was another member of the city council that wanted to look at doing a municipal golf course as a way to raise revenue, and city staff kind of freaked out a little bit because they didn't want to get into the business of golf courses because it was expensive and a liability. I think similar corollary to that is that the cities that might want to do this have to get over the bar of the 65% threshold. And I, you know, what I always said in city government was you have to be able to count to three, right? You have to be able to count to three votes. That's all you need. And when you look at the potential condemnation of, I think the testifier said that his business was 106 years old, 121, that's more than 106, 121 years old, that they have been providing this service to the community, that they have been taking the risk of making sure things work. When things break, they're on the hook for that. When employees have to be hired, they're on the hook for that. I think that the hurdle should be high because to shackle a city to this level of potential exposure. And Representative Kraft, you can't deny that there is significant exposure when you get into something like this. Businesses make business decisions couching the exposure, and they mitigate that by figuring out how to make it work. Cities have one and only one. And yes, I'm getting to a question, Madam Chair. There is a lead up to every question.
Please.
cities have to figure out how they're going to pay for this, and there is only one way, and that's the taxpayer. So I think that there's a lot of problems with this. I will also use the example of Carver County. My own county decided to pay for a fiber ring to be put in, and it was super controversial. And the company that put it into the ground that was a partner then effectively walked away from it for a number of years, which was a disaster. So I think that the bar should be high. And as Representative Nadeau so aptly put it, condemnation through use of eminent domain is a three to two vote, effectively. And you're going to be putting a city on the hook for all the exposure. And I'd like Representative Kraft to tell me how he plans to, through his bill, ameliorate the level of exposure to cities if something goes egregiously wrong.
Okay. You did say that this is just permissive language. Cities could decide whether they want to do it themselves or not. Is that correct?
I did. Yes.
Okay. Would you like to answer the question? Representative Kraft.
Madam Chair, Representative Nash, I think it's a bill. Cities can choose what they want to do, and I think we still need to work on the condemnation language, which was wrapped into your point. So that's
thank
my
you.
Response.
Seeing no,
Madam Chair, I am not done.
Excuse me, Representative Nash. Could we just use a little decorum and we'll be polite? You could just say, I have a follow-up, and I would be happy to acknowledge you.
You wanted to go past. You wanted to go past Representative Nadeau when he was not done.
Representative Nash, if you have a question, we have people here. Please go forward.
My last statement was to ask for a roll call before I was blocked from asking. So I'm going to ask for
a roll call. I have never blocked you. Thank you. Roll call has been requested. We don't yet have a motion before us, but we do have a motion before us. Representative Kraft, do you have any closing comments to your bill?
No, I think this is a good bill for all the reasons we've said. I ask for your support to send us back to Commerce.
All right. And members, I just want to make sure everyone is clear. Representative Nash is, our Representative Kraft has offered to continue to work on this bill. And the motion before us is to re-refer the bill to Commerce. And with that, I will ask you to take the roll call.
Chair Cleavorn?
Aye.
Chair Cleavorn? Aye. Representative Hewitt?
Aye.
Representative Hewitt? Aye. Lead Nash?
No.
Lead Nash? No. Representative Bonner?
Aye.
Representative Bonner? Aye. Representative Berg?
Aye.
Representative Berg? Aye. Representative Freiberg?
Yes.
Representative Freiberg? Aye. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Representative Hansen? Aye. Representative Harder?
No.
Representative Harder? No. Representative Joy?
No.
Representative Joy? No. Representative Kosnick?
No.
Representative Kosnick? No. Representative Nadeau?
No.
Representative Nadeau? No. Representative Newton?
Yes.
Representative Newton? Aye. The ayes are 7 and the nays are 5 with 1 excused.
With a vote of 7 ayes, 5 nays, 1 excused, the motion prevails, and House File 3679 is recommended to be re-referred to Commerce. Thank you. Representative Fisher. Welcome to the committee. Since you were not a member of the committee, I will move that House File 3987 be re-referred to the General Register. We have the bill before us, if you would like to begin your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Claybar, and thank you, committee, for the opportunity to present House File 3987. 3987 is a bill that is a result of work that we did in the last legislative session to break off the Department of Direct Care and Treatment into a separate agency from the Department of Human Services. This is a bill that is very technical in nature. It is something that we've worked very closely with the nonpartisan staff on, and I should say, actually, nonpartisan staff did the bulk of the work, all the work on this. And I want to say thank you, because I know this is a lot of work as they go through and separate the different sections. You know, the purpose of the bill is to make the necessary changes in statute, and that means transferring the Department of Direct Care and Treatment Executive Board and all the duties and authorities currently in the vested in the Commissioner of Human Services into its own direct agency. And the bill does not address the composition of the board that's going to be overseeing the department. But what it does is it makes sure that it moves all the functions and powers over so that things will occur so that they can continue to function as they have been. Some of the things that it does is nonpartisan staff reorganize the effective language for clarity and ease of use. They updated terminology. Many of these parts of the statute have not been looked at in decades. And so as they were going through, they're taking a careful look to see where we've made changes, because sometimes when legislatively we make changes in one part of statute, changing a term, it doesn't always get caught in other parts. And this is the type of thing. So they spent an enormous time going through and comparing the statutes, making sure that we were getting everything updated. They also removed obsolete language. There have been times in the past where there are different reports that were called out that were just for one specific purpose at one time. We dropped those. They dropped those in the process because they weren't needed to be outlined in language anymore. The codification is not intended to change any existing policy at all or to have a fiscal impact beyond the reorganization of the executive branch functions. I do have nonpartisan staff here who is available. I do want to say a big thank you to them for all the work they've done since last year to put this together. And I will stand for questions.
Okay. I do see that we have, I think there's an A1. Is anyone offering the A1? Lead Nash.
Thank you. So this is a very similar amendment to the last. I don't know if Representative Fisher was in the room when we were talking about it previously. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, in trying to remove things from the Department of Health, big fan of that idea because they're largely inefficient and too big. Wanted to make sure that as we're doing that, we're not allowing for the duplicative effort that often happens in government. So I wanted to make sure through the A1 that we were addressing that, and that if we could implement the A1, that I think that would provide some greater level of assurance to my side of the aisle that we're actually going to do this and do this seriously.
Representative Fisher.
Thank you, Chair Claiborne. Thank you, Representative Nash. I will say that where I would recommend that to be done is there's going to be a separate policy bill moving on this exact same area. From my recall, Chair Knorr is going to be carrying that bill. And I would say that would be the best place to be doing that because that is getting more into some of the policies that we have out here. We were just going by just direct things that were being broken off in this area and just keeping statute going from one to the other.
So you're saying this is just a clean technical?
A clean technical bill. Would like to keep that way. We do have another. I do appreciate the issue being raised, and I would encourage Representative Nash to reach out to Chair Knorr as Chair Knorr brings forth his bill.
Thank you. Lead Nash.
Well, thank you for the support of my amendment, Representative Fisher. I'll be sure we talk about that later. I think the bill's here now, and it's a technical amendment. So I think that it should be added in.
All right. Thank you very much. Members, I encourage a no vote. We've heard that this will go through Chair Knorr's committee. At that time, this could be a place where, I'm sorry.
I want to interrupt, but I'll ask for a roll call.
A roll call has been requested. Members, I'm going to vote no on this amendment, and I encourage you to vote no. With that, please take the roll.
Chair Claiborne?
No.
Chair Claiborne, no. Vice Chair Hewitt?
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt, no. Lead Nash?
Aye.
Lead Nash, aye. Representative Bonner?
No.
Representative Bonner, no. Representative Berg?
No.
Representative Berg, no. Representative Freiberg?
No.
Representative Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Hansen, no. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Representative Harder, aye. Representative Herr is excused. Representative Joy?
Aye.
Representative Joy, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Representative Kosnick, aye. Representative Nadeau?
Aye.
Representative Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton?
No.
Representative Newton, no. The ayes are 5, nays are 7, with 1 excused.
With a vote of 5 ayes, 7 nays, 1 excused, the motion does not prevail and the A1 is not adopted. We move on to the A2. Who's offering the A2? Representative Kosnick.
Madam Chair, I'd like to introduce the A2 amendment, and what that does is provide for legislative auditor review for duplicative services, similar to the previous discussion. I think this just adds another layer of safeguard for taxpayers to make sure that state government runs efficiently. And so I would encourage a yes vote and support for the A2 amendment.
Thank you. Chair Fisher.
Thank you, Chair Claiborne. I would ask for a no vote on this. I will say that the Department of Direct Care and Treatment is very highly already segregated within the Department of Human Services right now and has a lot of oversight. I would say if there's concerns, this is one where I feel this is more straight into a policy area, and this is something that should be looked at in the policy bill that comes forward.
Thank you very much. And so is there further discussion? No. Seeing.
I'm sorry, Chair. Yes. I just have a question. And maybe it's for the author of the amendment more.
Representative Hewitt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess I'm confused that we have to pass amendments to do this, but and just help me with this because I'm doing something similar to this. Don't the auditor already have that authority to go and look at duplicated services? And I mean, the auditor, based on what we give them, should be able to do this without having an amendment in some bill buried somewhere. I'm just curious. Maybe I'm just too simple about this, but help me out.
First,
Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Vice Chair Hewitt, thank you for the question. Line 1.12, 1.13, the legislative auditor is requested, and so they don't necessarily, they aren't already directed, so we as the legislature do have the ability to request this. It's a good governance bill to make sure that we aren't continuing to grow government by 40% and expand and expand and expand. And so if you think this is a good policy to do it, it just makes sure that your taxpayers aren't doing it twice and paying for it twice.
Lead Nash.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And to pick up where Representative Kosnick left off, very often OLA, unfortunately, picks up after something has gone egregiously wrong. I think that having something on the leading edge built into it is a sound policy. So, Representative Hewitt, that's why we have asked for this, is to make sure that before something goes wrong, and this agency is noted for things going wrong, that it might be good to have a little belt and suspenders for scrutiny in there.
Thank you. And I would just like to remind the committee that Chair Fisher has said to us that he'd like this to be a clean bill, just a clean, a technical bill, and that any changes like this would be in the policy and Chair Norris committee. Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Fisher, I appreciate the discussion on this. And, you know, we continue to grow and ask government to do more and more. This amendment just makes sure that we aren't overdoing it. And I know we grew government an incredible amount. $20 billion surplus was spent and gone. $10 billion in taxes were added. Taxpayers are a little tired of being asked to continue to do more and more. They want efficient government. That's what this amendment does. And Madam Chair, I would request a roll call.
Thank you. A roll call has been requested. If you would please take the roll.
Chair Claiborne?
No.
Chair Claiborne, no. Vice Chair Hewitt?
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt, no. Lead Nash?
Aye.
Lead Nash, aye. Representative Bonner?
No.
Representative Bonner, no. Representative Berg?
No.
Representative Berg, no. Representative Freiberg?
No.
Representative Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Hansen, no. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Representative Harder, aye. Representative Fur is excused. Representative Joy?
Aye.
Representative Joy, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Representative Kosnick, aye. Representative Nadeau?
Yes.
Representative Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton?
No.
Representative Newton, no. The ayes are 5, the nays are 7, with 1 excused.
With a vote of 5 ayes, 7 nays, 1 excused, the motion does not prevail and the A2 is not adopted. Next, we'll move on to public testimony. Is there anyone who wishes to testify on this bill? Seeing none, we will move to any further member discussion. Representative Harder.
Thank you, Chair Claiborne and Representative Fisher. I just have a comment. And hopefully the agencies are listening, because the agencies are quite large and what they do affect the counties and the work that they do on behalf of the citizens of Minnesota. And I just hope that with all these changes that we don't create more silos, and I hope that they do become more efficient in working with the counties. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comment. Seeing no further discussion, Chair Fisher, is there anything you'd like to say about the bill before we vote?
No, Madam Chair. I just thank you for the opportunity and look forward to getting this moved out of the floor.
Thank you very much. And with that, I will renew my motion that House File 3987 as is re-referred to the General Register. And with that, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No.
The motion prevails, and House File 3987 is re-referred to the General Register. I would like to take a moment, please, to introduce our page. Michael, we haven't had an opportunity to officially welcome you to the committee, so welcome. We appreciate your services to state and local government, so thank you for being with us. Michael Thomas is our page. And with that, we don't have any further business before us. Our next meeting will be Tuesday, March 5th. And with that, members, we are adjourned.